Hour number two, Darren, Donnick, and Chase live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Stop in here for lunch if you're downtown in the area. Bridgestone Arena, they have great food here in Pete and Terry's Tavern. Plus, while you're here waiting for your fantastic food, we've got a sign-up box, a little registration box where you can fill out a little bit of information and have a chance to be in Bridgestone Arena tonight to see the Predators and the Senators. You don't have to be present to win. You have to be present to sign up your name. So you're going to need to pop in here to Pete and Terry's Tavern to have a chance to be here tonight. And then we will announce a name towards the very end of the show. David Poyle will join us at 11:15. He will sit down at the table with us here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. But I told you we were going to bring up John Robinson's comments about both guys just now in Indianapolis at the Combine. And I want you to listen to these words carefully and just give me your initial reaction when you hear it, okay? Let's start with Derrick Henry. John Robinson, and I quote, "We're going to work through that one and do everything we can to try to keep him around."
Okay.
Ryan Tannehill, "We'll see how it goes. He's under contract for the next few weeks. He did a great job for us." Initial reaction. What?
He's more committed to Henry than he is Tannehill. That's the initial reaction. I think he knows that he has to get Derrick Henry done. I think he knows he has a plan B if he doesn't get Tannehill done. There is no plan B.
What is plan B?
Well, you've said it. You've said it all along. It's Brady.
Well, Tom Brady's not plan B.
You say Tom Brady's plan A.
Tom Brady, if Tom Brady is an option, or he's plan A. Tom Brady's not plan B.
That's your opinion.
Yes. And I'm very confident with that opinion. If Tom Brady is an actual plan and an actual option, he's not plan B. He's not like, "Hey, Ryan, please, will you sign this contract? If not, we're going to go get terrific Tom." No. If Tom Brady's an option, he's plan A. We'll see how it goes. He's under contract for the next few weeks. He did a great job for us. Does that sound like a general manager that's almost saying goodbye?
I wouldn't say he's saying goodbye, but he's non-committal.
Derrick Henry, "We're going to work through that one. We're going to work through that one and do everything we can to try to keep him around." He didn't say, "Well, we'll see how it goes. He's under contract for the next few weeks. He did a great job for us. He was the leading rusher in the NFL." He's like, "We're going to work through that one."
Right.
"We're going to do everything we can to try to keep him around." Ryan Tannehill, "Thanks for the job you did for us." He's under contract for the next few weeks as a Titan.
I think he's saying that if we re-sign him, great. If we don't, I have another option. You asked for my initial reaction. I'm giving you the initial reaction. He's more committed to signing Derrick Henry than he is Ryan Tannehill. I get it. He is.
Right, but you said he's got options. And I asked you, what is his options? And if
his options are Brady and Tannehill.
Then,
it's those two
then
guys.
If that is the case, Tom Brady is option A. You understand that, right? He's option A.
Well, then
if he realistically goes an option, he's option A. He's not option B. He's not the backup plan.
If that's how he's looking at it, then he's going to let Tannehill walk. And he's going to have to hope that Tom Brady signs here.
John Robinson, the general manager of the Titans, just said in Indianapolis on Ryan Tannehill, "We'll see how it goes. He's under contract for the next few weeks. He did a great job for us." Does that sound like a guy there are no other options? It's Ryan Tannehill?
Well, I never said there weren't. There are other options. It's the options that you have thrown out there. It's Brady and Tannehill. It's going to be one of those two.
Yes.
But he's not closing the door on it. You make it sound like he's
Derrick
saying goodbye.
Henry, there are no options. He's
right.
Saying,
yes,
we're going to work that one out.
But we knew that.
We're going to do everything we can to try to keep him around.
There is
no option
right.
B
but
for Derrick Henry.
We knew that.
Ryan Tannehill, I read this as, we got options. You know what? Yeah, we'll see how this goes.
I'm agreeing with you.
We really appreciate everything he did. He did a great job for us.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying that there are options, but he's not closing the door either way because he knows he can't.
Well, of course not.
But here's my thing.
Those were two different wordings.
Yes.
For two players in the same exact spot. Same exact spot.
Mm-hmm.
Both had fantastic years. Both are getting ready to be free agents. They're in the same exact spot. One, he says, we're going to work through that one and do everything we can to try to keep him around. That says there are no other options, folks.
Right.
We're going to figure this out on Derrick Henry. Ryan Tannehill, well, we'll just see how it goes. He's under contract for the next few weeks. Man, he did a great job for us.
And then he didn't bite in any of the Brady questions.
The only thing he didn't say was, we really appreciate everything Ryan Tannehill did.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck to him and his future endeavors.
Yeah.
That's literally the only thing John Robinson just
right,
left
because
out of
he
those
doesn't,
quotes.
He doesn't want to say that because he knows that, look, if it comes out in a week that Tom's like, hey, I'm going to stay here. I'm staying in New England. I'm not going anywhere. Then he focuses attention, and he hasn't changed his attention.
Let me ask you something. You don't think Mike Vrabel knows that? You don't think Mike Vrabel knows whether –
I have no idea.
You understand they're really tight, right?
Like, I do understand
really
that.
Tight. So do you think they're not communicating? You don't think they have communicated? Do you think Mike Vrabel knows what time? If Tom Brady was going back to New England, do you think, while the public may not know, do you think Mike Vrabel knows? Like, dude, I love you,
probably.
Bro, but I'm staying put, just so you know. FYI, I haven't put anything out there. I love you. I wish, you know, we could get together one day.
Yeah.
I was hoping for that. It's just – I'm going back.
Right.
Just so you know. I hope this doesn't affect our friendship.
That.
You don't think that has an you don't think Mike Vrabel knows what Tom Brady's gonna do?
John Robinson.
You think
might
he's
know.
Just as clueless as we are?
No, he knows more than we do.
Of course he does.
But look, knowing what he knows, I mean, if they let Tannehill walk, like if they don't tag him or anything, they let him walk, then that's probably going to tell me and tell you what we need to know. That means that there probably has been a conversation, and it will be Brady. But we got some time on that. That's why he answered the question the way he did.
A few weeks.
Well, that's the truth. A lot can happen in a few weeks. Hey, you've been in this business for a long time. A lot can happen in a few weeks.
A lot can happen in a day. Chad, what's up?
Hey, fellas. I'm personally in the school that just doesn't give Tom Brady coming to Tennessee any clout whatsoever. And I do it from the standpoint of strictly from the ownership standpoint. Can you imagine he goes from a high profile Robert Kraft who knows how to run a football organization, say what you want about him. You got one of the most respected owners, and now all of a sudden he's just going to go work for Amy Strunk. And that's not a shot against Amy. It's just reality for what it is. And you think about how important it is, ownership, your boss, who's ahead of you. That means a ton to you, not to mention the facilities over at Metro Center. I don't think they compete with anything that's going on in New England. I just don't think it's a serious conversation. I think he's in a negotiation phase. I think he's going to throw every card he can on the table to try to get the best-case scenario he can in New England. But I give Tennessee and Tom Brady less than a 1% chance.
Chad, stay with us, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, I agree with you 100% ownership. You will never hear me say ownership is not important. And if you've listened to the show at all, you know that I know ownership is important to anything you do. Whatever you do out there listening, to having good, solid ownership, that will help you succeed. If you have lousy ownership, you probably are not going to succeed. That's how it works. So I'm with
Absolutely.
You on that, okay?
And you,
but let
right.
me just say this. For you to say that there is nothing to this, do you think Adam Schefter's a good reporter? Do you think he is basically at the top of the mountain at covering the NFL?
I think Adam does. I have mixed feelings on Adam as far as
Well, let me ask you, do you think he has good info? How about that?
Sure.
How about good info?
Sure. Yeah, his credibility seems to be there.
Yeah, yeah. Whether you think he's good on television or good on the radio,
yeah.
Do you think he has good info? I think that part is the most important. I think everybody who follows the NFL would have to agree that Adam Schefter has good info.
Well,
okay, whether you think he's good
or
not.
If I can jump in real quick,
yeah.
I would say this. If I am trying to negotiate a contract with New England, I need credibility about my options elsewhere. And if it comes all the way down to the beat writer or the national beat writers reporting that I have interest to go to other teams, that only gives me more juice. So I'm, you know, as far as Adam Schefter, yeah, he's a credible national beat writer, wonderful. I just think that there's just when the smoke clears and everything settles, Tom Brady's going to be a New England Patriot.
And that may play out that way. But that may play out that way. You may be right. I look, I would say the percentages are you're going to be right. But I think we all thought at first, like, no chance. Like, I think it's virtually impossible to say that today. There's just too much smoke.
Yeah.
There's too much smoke out there, Chad.
But doesn't that make the point that we all just think, well, this is not realistic, that he really, Tom Brady and his camp, really have to do a job, a salesmanship job outside of New England to sell them, to get them to be fearful that he may not come back?
No. I think Tom Brady values relationships a lot. I've heard people who cover him, people who have been around him, talk about that. Floyd Reese worked. He knows Tom Brady. And Tom Brady values relationships. And Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have had nothing but a strictly, and I mean strictly, business relationship and business only for a long time. And it's served them both well. We know that, okay? Because in the end, it's about winning. I think at this point in his career, I think maybe he's looking for a little bit more, maybe somebody that is more than just strictly nothing but business. And so he has that in a Mike Vrabel. And I think that's something that's intriguing to him.
Don't you think number one is winning? I mean, he's dealt 20 years with Belichick with that relationship, and it's been successful for him with his legacy.
Yeah, who put him out of the playoffs this year?
He goes to Tennessee. He goes to the Raiders. He goes to a team that has some holes within the upper management or has some holes within the lining that he's not going to get in New England, and he's not successful. It's going to take an incredible shot at his legacy, and people are everywhere. You know how people are, whether they're right or wrong, and the legacy is going to be he can't win without Belichick. And I just don't think that's a risk you take unless you have that umbrella above you that is as solid as New England, which you're just not going to get.
So well, I'll say this, since Mike Vrabel's been here. The Patriots came in here the year before, Mike Vrabel's first year, and got waxed. I mean waxed. And guess what? In year two, the Titans went to Foxborough and beat them and put them out of the playoffs. So, you know,
I don't think that the Titans are ahead of New England in the big picture. I think the next time those two teams play, don't expect the Titans to be a favorite in that game. I think that we saw the New England kind of bottomed out. They lack a few weapons for Brady, which, you know, has to be on his absolute must list to get him some weapons. But I don't think at any stretch of the imagination the Titans now have surpassed the Patriots as far as the football franchise.
All right, we will see. Chad, good call. Thanks for the call. We will come back and talk to General Manager David Poyle. Our weekly chat with him next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, the crew is all together now. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick has made his way to the table. Chase McCabe, we're live here. Pete and Terry's Tavern. Tonight it's the Predators and Senators. 7 o'clock, puck drop pregame at 6. Everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. You know, on Tuesdays at this time, we speak with David Poyle, Predators General Manager. He's brought to you every week by Gary Force Acura, Cool Springs, Wines, and Spirits. David, the trade deadline is over. The smoke has cleared. And hopefully you got a good night's sleep.
I did, and I'm very, very clear today. I'm glad it's over. It's been very stressful the time the last two or three weeks when you're leading up to this, and our club is fighting for a playoff spot, and there's a lot of good things that are happening with our club and some of the individuals, and then there's some things you'd like to improve. So you're kind of all over the map, if you will, in terms of should you stay the same? Should you make a minor deal? Should you make a big deal? All of those things sort of have been in my mind the last two or three weeks. But for sure, our team is getting more wins than losses. It seems like more individuals are living up to their expectations. And obviously, I think we're only one or two points out of the playoffs. I guess if things went right in the right direction tonight, we would be in the playoffs for the first time in a long time. I guess the bottom line is after thorough discussions with all the GMs and our hockey staff, and specifically some of the leaders on our team and John Hines, our coach, that I just felt that this was the best shape our team has been in a long, long time. And if you go back to the beginning of the year when we all felt that we had a team that can compete with the best teams in the league and certainly be a team that's going to make the playoffs and then have a chance to compete for the Stanley Cup, I really feel that we're getting closer to that again. So, you know, right now we didn't do anything except a, you know, a small trade to change the bottom pair of our defense. I'm hoping that we start playing like we thought we were for the team at the beginning of the season. And if we do that, we'll certainly make the playoffs. And then you never know what will happen after that.
The league was very active. You were not active, especially to your standards, what you've been at the trade-in deadline. Was it something wasn't right for you, or was it just quiet on your end? I mean, did you have a lot of juice on your phone at 2 o'clock yesterday, or was your battery low?
Well, honestly, my battery was low. Okay. You know, I don't think that's the bottom line here. We weren't really active to be a big seller. We weren't looking for the big deal, or even in talking in concepts to different teams. There was no big deal that was being presented to us, and maybe that was us not being as creative as we should have been. I think as we moved along, we were in a position basically to hold or to get the value for the players that we set. And that's one of the things that, you know, we do all the time, is to try to say, well, if we're going to trade player X, what do we either need back, or what would we accept back? And at the trading deadline, it's a little bit different because it may not be a hockey trade. It might be for draft picks or younger players, because most of the deals are that form, if you will. And obviously, by not doing anything, meaning if I would have cut back draft choices, our team would have been weaker today than it currently is. So, you know, you weigh a couple of draft choices against what we have right now, and bottom line is, the decision is that I chose to stay with what we have.
You had back-to-backs on Friday and Saturday. When you left here Saturday night, 8-round shootout, 2 points, a win over Columbus. What was your mindset leaving here Saturday night in preparation for Monday?
Well, it took me a little bit of time for my heart to reset after the eight rounds of the shootout. That was, I always kid around and everyone was saying, well, someday I will be a fan. And it must be unbelievably exciting. I don't know. It wasn't necessarily for the GM, but I'm trying not to, I'm not being my career, my job, trying not to make decisions on a game-by-game basis. I mean, I don't think that's the right thing to do. So I think a manager always has to have that vision of, you know, down the road. I mean, even for me, more so than this year, it's almost like next year. Like, I know coming today and some of the things I've been working on today are 3 or 4 years down the road. That's how quickly it changes. So, I mean, competitiveness that we all have in ourselves, I mean, to make the playoffs is always significant. I mean, only half the teams make the playoffs. And, I mean, we're one of the few teams that have made the playoffs for 5 years in a row or 6 years in a row, whatever it might be. So there's, whether that's the competitiveness, whether that's your ego, probably a little bit of both, to be, you know, honest. And again, just the fact that our team, you know, is coming off of a couple hundred point seasons, the Stanley Cup Finals. I know you can't live in the past and things changed. If guys either get better or they get worse, nothing stays the same. We've had the same, pretty much the core of the same team. And I don't know, I just still feel it. It's there somewhere. I mean, I think a lot of individuals could play better in these last 21 games. And if they rise up to the level that they can play in, then our team is going to rise up and we're going to not only make the playoffs, we got a chance to do better things.
David, the answer is 5, but the answer in a month and a half needs to be 6. There you go.
There you go.
So
Thank you
talked to a lot of people. What you said, you spoke with a lot of people within the organization, the room yesterday. What did you get from the people you spoke to, and in particular, maybe the room and the head coach, that made you feel better about everything staying intact moving forward?
Well, to be clear, not the room yesterday. I think this is talking to more of the leadership of our team, you know, not yesterday, but in the last couple of weeks as to where we are. The coach, I had him participate a little bit in some of the things that we're doing in the last couple of days so that he was aware of the thought process. He was very influential because he thinks we've made a lot of progress. He hasn't been here very long, and there's a lot of things that needed to be straightened out or done his way, which he has. And he he really felt that we're a playoff team. He really felt that we were getting better and that we were going to continue to get better. I guess I would be foolish if I didn't take that into consideration.
We're talking to David Poile, Nashville Predators general manager. And David, you had three guys that were getting talked about a lot who are potential free agents. One of them you locked up yesterday in Rocco Grimaldi. He is a guy that the fans continue to seem to gravitate towards. And he had, of course, the big moment on Saturday night in the shootout. But you now have a new two-year commitment for him. We had a chance to talk to him yesterday. It's a great story.
It's absolutely a fantastic story. As I said, two years ago, he comes here on a two-way contract, been with a couple of other organizations and never was able to stick and always been sent down to the minors. And I mean, I heard some of the things that he said, too, that he was actually thinking a couple more years or I'm going to go to Europe or I'm not going to do this anymore. So the good news is that he just got focused in. He has a more complete game. I think he understands what he needs to do to be successful. I think sometimes when you're a younger player, and Rocco was a pretty high draft pick, you think you can play the game a certain way and have success, and it wasn't working for him. And thank goodness that he had the maturity and the vision to fit into the, I guess you'd say, a team concept and a way to play that would correctly allow him to be successful. So I love this story. And that was, as I said yesterday, it was a well-earned contract. So that's one of the highlights of the year for sure.
The other two guys that are potential free agents, Mikhail Granlin and Craig Smith, are both playing really, really well right now. What is your mindset going forward with them in terms of beyond this year? Or is it just simply, just let's play this year and see where it goes?
At the moment, it's just play and see where it goes. But we have had decent lines of communication in terms of you know, the possible ability for us and them to, again, enter into a contract. And, again, it's not perfect. I mean, there's you know, cap implications. Roman Josi's contract goes up to $9 million next year, and, you know, we're going to have some cap issues or what have you. But, again, you got to love the way that Smitty's been playing on with Bonino and Grimaldi, and Granlin has arguably been one of our top players in the last couple of months. So, if there's a will, there's a way, and the more success we have as a team and as they have as individuals probably gives us both an opportunity to want to try to stay together.
One thing, you talk about John Hines saying, I feel like we're making progress. One thing that you can see statistically, Pekka and Juuse Saros seem to be trending in the right direction, both of them, and the defense around them seems to be, they get more comfortable, it seems like, with every game on how they're going to play in front of them.
Yeah, a big change in that area where I think we felt ourselves in starting the year, if you remember, we got off to a really good start, and I know we scored five goals every game, and it was fun, but I don't think we were really paying a lot of attention or detail to the defensive part of the game, and I truly believe that was one of the changes that happened, is that kind of caught up to us when we started losing, is that we still were scoring at a decent rate, but we were really giving up a lot. And so, I mean, John's obviously tried to rein that in a little bit. Offensively, we're down a bit from where we were with Peter Laviolette. And again, as a well-rounded team and a team to be really successful, we need to have both. I mean, so gotta be greedy here every day. Okay, great, you took care of this area. now we have these guys that can do this, and you know our scoring is down. Our top guys are all down a little bit, but that was happening before the coaching change. And if there's anything that I'd like to see happen in this last 21 games as we push towards the playoffs, is our top dogs getting in there and, you know, providing more offense without giving up the defense.
Pres General Manager David Poile is here with us. Aren't you glad that we don't have to ask you when is Ryan Ellis coming back? Because now he's back in the lineup and he's looked pretty good over the course of the last couple games.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we said last week, that is our best trading deadline acquisition. I mean, we've already seen in a couple of games. I think Ryan makes Josi better and vice versa. And obviously a lot of minutes, and it probably pushes everybody down and gets everybody in the right seat on the bus, if you will, for the defense. And maybe with the small change here with Holzer coming in and with our penalty killing, a little bit more physicality, maybe we can be a little bit better there too. So it's all good. But Ryan's we're probably not going to have a good finish here if we don't have Ryan Ellis back. And now I think our team gets much more confidence now that he's back in the lineup.
Is Holzer here?
He is here.
Is he going to be?
He's practicing this morning. I'm not sure he's going to play today, but he didn't get here till like 12:30, 1 o'clock last night on the red eye or what have you. So I think just probably I have to talk to John, but I believe he will just skate today and watch, and I'm sure he'll get into the next game.
You also have some younger players that we've gotten to see Trennan some this year. He's in Milwaukee, had the hat trick the other day. We all know about Rem Pitlick, who came in last year, Ellie Tolvanen. What's the progress with those guys? And, you know, do you have a timetable of when you'd like to see them possibly get a chance up here?
I am sure, based on good play, poor play, knock on wood, possibly injuries or what have you, that, you know, there's going to still have to be some changes. We have 23 players, but that's not a lot. And, you know, when you're trying to make the playoffs and in a schedule that has 3 games in 4 days and a lot of back-to-back games. So I think you'll probably see guys in Trennan, and certainly is a guy that is deserving to come up here and vie for a regular position. I'm with you and mentioning like Pitlick or could be a defenseman if we need to, if our guys are not playing well. You know, there is no more trades, so we have to use the players within our organization. But I would be very comfortable to give these guys an opportunity. So, you know, the 23 guys are here. We've got their positions. They're in the lineups, but we're not going to wait too long if guys aren't playing well.
David, in your years of doing this and around this time of year, you know, I've talked to some of the players that, look, it's a tough time of year. You don't know if you're staying or going, or the guy next to you staying or going.
Right.
Have you noticed a big difference in your locker rooms of when this time passed, of, okay, now that stress is gone, we can have tunnel vision and focus on the last 20 games?
You know, absolutely. And Ben, there's been so much talk about our team and at the trade deadline and how things could go. I mean, I'm sure there's 5 or 6 players in our room today that are, well, I hope they're relieved and happy to be here, but, you know, could have easily been traded. So I get that. You know, I did talk to one guy and he was sort of saying, thank you for not, I was just down by the locker, thank you for not trading me. We really like it here. And I said, good, we'll just play good these last 21 games. So, no, it's got to be really tough on the families and wives and guys that have kids and stuff like that. And I do believe that they all want to be here. That's the thing. I think we have some unfinished work to do. So I get that, and I'm glad if I've made some people happy and their lives more comfortable. That's great.
What did you think about what happened in Toronto Saturday night with the emergency backup goalie?
Well, I have all sorts of thoughts. First of all, it's again, I use a fan analogy. If I was a fan, it's the greatest thing in the world, and how cool is this? And I mean, who wasn't cheering for Carolina, and what a bonding night that was for their organization? If there's a team that's on the bubble for making the playoffs, right. I mean, that type of thing might just take you into the playoffs. Their coach, Rob Brendamore, was fantastic after the game, and he hit the nail on the head when he made his remarks to the team after the game, saying how this is why we're in the game. It's to create memories, and we all got a memory created for all of us. This will be part of us for forever. So that's so cool. Now, the flip side is I'm a general manager, and the way the Toronto fans, media, what they said about the Maple Leafs and their coach and their players and their general manager was, yeah. You know, you don't wish that on your biggest enemy, if you will. So there's always two sides to everything, but again, it was such a cool thing. So yeah,
it couldn't have happened at a worse place, yeah. Because of the spotlight, right? I mean, in Toronto, I mean, you can imagine what the last 48 hours, 72 hours have been, them talking about that. I mean, I'm sure they haven't even moved on past that.
So I don't know if the listeners know this, but every team has to have
I was just about to ask what the rule is.
Every team has to have an EBUG, which stands for Emergency Backup Goalie. And so you could imagine, too, there's probably – and so we have one, and we have 3 guys on our list that are local men that play hockey and have played hockey at some level. It can't be Chris Mason.
I've had about 15 texts asking if it's Chris Mason.
It can't be Chris Mason because he's an employee of the club. Okay. And the reason why it can't be is because the bug goes in for either the home team or the visiting team.
Correct.
So the league would think there's some conflict in that. So we have three guys in our list, and they've practiced with us on occasion when, you know, Peck or Saros needs a day off or what have you. So there's one of them that's here every game and has got his equipment, and he's ready to go.
Do you scout them? Like, do they have to pass? I mean, obviously they have to. You have to envision them being in an NHL game, being able to hold their own, right?
But it's happened 2 years in a row, right? Yeah. So it's kind of a big deal It's not like you can say, well, it hasn't happened in 50
years.
Well,
last night, Columbus lost the first goal, and you were thinking, oh, well, the guy's got to saddle up. Yeah, the guy was getting his gear on just in case.
Well, they have to live in Nashville.
you're working with that pool of people.
Yeah, so, you know, you might think that maybe Toronto has a better goalie than maybe Florida.
Or Columbus or Tampa. That type of thing.
So it's not perfect, but it's necessary. And, you know, again, I'm sure that these young guys come to the game every night and thinking, I hope this is my night. if I get in. But
Do you put an ad? Like, is there basically, do you hold tryouts for this spot?
Well, yeah, actually,
we need a guy. Everybody's got to have a guy.
I'm here to apply the e-bug.
But it's like you said, it's not for everybody. You guys wouldn't show up if there was an ad in the paper to go do that.
You don't know that. I might.
Yeah.
No, so you wouldn't win the job.
No, I wouldn't.
So we've been here for a few years, and this is a relatively new thing. So contacts in all the minor hockey here or what have you. So there's some candidates, but yes, Ben Vanderklok, our goalie coach, goes out on the ice with these guys in the summer or what have you, and to the best of his ability, he picks, you know, in this case, three guys. Because they don't come to all the games because they all have jobs or what have you, but it's kind of a rotating situation.
So you've got one guy in place every home game.
Every home game.
Those three candidates.
He comes in, he's got his equipment in the trunk or his trunk of his car, or he brings it. I don't know if he brings it into the dressing room, so it's ready, and then we have his number. He sees what he's watching the game, and if he sees somebody goes down, we call him immediately and come down to the dressing room. I think there's been some times where goalie's gotten hurt here, either home or away, where he's been down to the room, and he's probably in the midst
putting on
his equipment. Yeah.
Huh. So hypothetically, like if something happened 2 hours before the game, you can't get somebody from Milwaukee in that amount of time. Do you have to use one of those three guys, or could that be a situation where, hey, Mace, you're not calling the game tonight. You're backing up whoever.
Mace could not do it.
You have to use those guys.
We have to use those guys, exactly.
As long as, if he's an employee of the team, then he's out. That's how it works.
That's right, exactly.
Interesting. David, good stuff. Thanks for stopping by. Hope you continue to rest easy. Yeah, we did learn a lot. Now, hopefully this is going to be a good week.
It's going to be a good week. No doubt about it.
I like it. David Poile, general manager of the Predators. We always look forward to his conversations with us on Tuesdays. He's brought to you by Gary Force Acura and Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. We'll come back with more here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren, Donning, and Chase. I don't know what just happened. My bad. I need to work through this. I need
what
to
did
multitask.
You do?
I don't know what just happened. I was trying to look up something that was passed along to us during the break. And Chase, it just went crazy.
I know what you're trying to look up, so let me help you.
Why did that do that?
I don't know.
I'm going to remove this.
Okay. Is this what you want?
Yeah.
Right there?
Yeah, that's what I want.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So I don't know why Twitter went crazy on me, but the three goalies, so you just heard our conversation with David Poile, and there are three guys that are the e-bug, which I think is funny.
And I'm trying to get Chris Mason out of retirement. Goalie. That's why I keep bringing this up.
Yeah, but look, everybody, understandably so. I mean, I have received countless text messages from people since that game on Saturday of, hey, is Chris Mason the emergency backup goalie? Because it's a fair question.
Sure.
I mean, that would make sense.
Because he practices sometimes.
Of course.
And, yeah.
No doubt. But as you just heard, I mean, there's no better source. I mean, that is truly the horse's mouth.
Yep.
David Poile, the general manager of the team, he cannot be an employee of the team. So Chris Mason, under any circumstance.
A full-time employee of the team.
Yeah, it cannot be a full-time employee of the team, and he is.
Yeah.
Okay, so he can't, like, take the broadcast off on television to go downstairs. And so if he's a full-time employee, he's out. He cannot be that. So yesterday on Twitter, the three guys that David Poile brought up, they have a rotation of three guys. They have obviously other jobs. In fact, we forgot to follow up. Because I think they were saying this about Ayers. Like, they don't even get paid, right?
Yeah.
I don't think they get paid.
Yeah. Because they're not really under contract. It's just
so Ayers, while he has a lifetime memory, I don't even think he got paid for his services. So anyway, there's a group of three. So obviously they have other
jobs. There's actually four that Chris has listed.
Okay, so. And so I'll let you read them.
Dustin Bone Smith.
So
nicknames.
They even have nicknames.
Yeah. Dylan Goose Caffrey, Billy the Kid Faust, Chris Songs, DeStefano. And he jokes that Christophe Roberto Massoni can only practice, as Chris made a joke yesterday of
now,
the
I
Predators.
I saw that. Yeah. I didn't see the names.
So as David Poile clarified to us, it's because Chris is a full-time employee of the team. Now, a few years ago, he was part-time, and I think he could have been eligible at that point. And that was just after he retired anyway. But now that he's a full-time employee, I guess because all these goalies listed have to be available to both teams, so you don't want a full-time employee of the Predators going in net for tonight would be Ottawa because of, you know, obvious conflicts of interest. So I get that for sure, but it was cool of him to clarify that because, as we know, it was David Ayers. I mean, that was a cool story, but he's a Zamboni driver. I mean, the goalie mask he wore was Toronto Marlies. So that's, you know, because he's based in Toronto and practices with them a lot. So pretty cool, but good to get that clarification because it is an interesting role because there aren't many. I mean, think about that. You don't just pull a quarterback out of the equipment room.
Well, how do you feel about a lot of people? There's a lot of people, and I think it's a lot of people who don't follow the game. Like if you're watching Around the Horn or PTAP, people that really don't follow the NHL or follow hockey, there's a lot of people out there saying, you know, like that's like what other sport? Like that, how ridiculous is that that you would have some, you know, just dude basically you pluck out of the stands.
Right.
And actually appear in a game. And in this case, actually win you a game that counts. And so it's a real hard concept for those people to grasp. And I understand that. I mean, I do. I get – because, you know, in football, if all the quarterbacks got hurt, they don't go to the stands and be like
– No, they go
to – Do they have a guy that, you know, used to play in college at, you know
– They usually have
small a – small college that just happens to be here in town and – Hey, suit up. We'll get, yeah. You know what I mean? You don't ever see that in any sport other than hockey, which, like David said, if you're a fan, like it's the coolest thing, or covering the sport, it's really cool, like a story like Saturday night. And that guy has – he's set for life, as I said, Saturday night and postgame. He'll tell that, he'll get to tell that story the rest of his life. No matter what happens, he has his story the rest of his life. And so you'll never be able to take that away from – David Ayers, who's 42 years old, that he won an NHL game, which is crazy to think. And he gave up two goals in the first three shots and still went on to win an NHL game. But a lot of people, what do you make of people questioning, like, how could a league have literally a guy who's a fireman? You know what I mean? I'm trying to pluck something out of the
okay,
air.
Let's say
a day job and just all of a sudden is in an NHL game.
Yeah, let's say it's one of us.
And they can determine. I mean, just think about this. I mean, those 2 points, we don't know how it's going to factor in with the Leafs when it's all said, or what it's going to do for the Hurricanes.
Yeah,
the rest of the way.
It's very odd, but what do you want them to do? I mean, you can't – now, the Predators have done this before. Fans may remember Jamie Allison was the emergency goaltender because he had experience in playing the position. So they – and I think it was when Chris was here probably that both goalies went down, and so they had to put the goalie gear on Jamie Allison, and Jamie Allison, you know, was suited up as a goaltender. So they have those situations, or they have the e-bugs, as they call them, but – I don't really know what you expect them to do. Most teams don't carry three goaltenders. They do sometimes. Now, one thing that I wish we had asked David Poile about. So let's say they did have – that Carolina had three goalies on the roster. You can only dress two. Would the e-bug then be the third goaltender if he's in the building? Could they do that, or do they have to go – well, I guess not because he's a full-time employee of the team. So I guess it would be the same situation.
I'm going to say that again.
Okay, so let's say for the Predators – you know, they have three goalies that are on the roster. You can only dress two, though, for a game. So you have the third one that is a healthy scratch. If both go down, can they go to the third goaltender, or do they have to go to the e-bugs because of what he said?
Who's the healthy scratch third goalie that's here in Nashville?
I'm saying if. I'm saying
right,
hypothetically.
Right, you're saying that would be the alternative. That's the only way you could do it.
No, but I'm asking if you can because based on what he said – it's almost like the same thing that if you have to have a neutral party, that's why I'm asking the question.
Yeah, and it is weird that they can suit up and play for either team. That's the other crazy
right.
oddity to it all, that they are just literally you know, there's somebody that they, in this case, this is a guy from Toronto, and he just beat the Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
Playing for Carolina.
Right.
Which is vying for a playoff spot. And there, and who knows how big those 2 points may end up being.
Yeah.
And the 2 points for, by the way, look at the, isn't it amazing the gap in the Atlantic between Boston and Tampa, who are the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. They're in the same division. And then Toronto's in third, and they are 13 points behind Tampa and 18 points behind the Bruins in third in the division. Just look at the gap of Boston and Tampa to Toronto.
I know. This is a question that just came in on the text line that I think is a good one. And they did not identify themselves. Is David Ayers eligible to have his name on the Stanley Cup if Carolina were to win it? Because he appeared in a game.
I don't know. That's a great question. That is a great question. I don't know the answer to that.
So many of these little questions. But, yeah, look, it is unique because in baseball, like if you run out of pitchers, you put a position player in that pitches. In basketball, you just play with a short bench. In football, you have usually somebody that's considered to be the emergency quarterback. I think Darius Jennings, I think, was kind of that for the Titans.
I mean, in baseball, we've seen Jose Canseco. We've seen
he's pitched.
Players.
Charlie Culberson pitches for the Braves.
Come in there and pitch in crazy long games, and they don't ever pluck somebody out, you know. Of the state, you know what I mean? It's just that you don't get that dynamic anywhere else in sports. So it's interesting. Jonas claims to be an emergency goalie is on the line with us. Jonas, what's up?
Hey, fellas. Just overheard y'all talking about Goose and Bonesy, a couple of the emergency backups for the Preds. And I'm fortunate enough to play men's league hockey with those guys, and I just wanted to say on the air that they're two phenomenal goalies. And they both grew up playing high competition hockey and just never made it to the big league, but they still play on a daily basis and coach. And I think one of them, Bonesy, grew up playing in San Diego, and Goose grew up playing in Nashville. And in the men's league network, there's lots of goalies always hopping around and filling in for fans who can't make it. And anytime you get Goose or Bonesy on your team, it's a good night for men's league hockey. And also just want to point out, you know, for anybody interested in Nashville and getting into the local men's league hockey community, if you're an amateur, never played the game, and you know you love it and you love watching it and you want to try it on the ice, we have a really cool network on Facebook. We have a group called Open Hockey Nashville, and it's a group of about 2,000 members now, and very inclusive, and you can kind of just hop on there and start asking questions, and we'll get a pair of skates on your feet and get you on the ice and get you playing in no time.
Throw it out there again, Jonas.
Cool. So the Facebook group is called Open Hockey Nashville, and it's a group of 2,000 members, all very inclusive, anywhere from people who played minors to people who just want to get their feet on in the skates for the first time and get on there, ask a question, and it's a very supportive community, and you will get taken care of. We can find you gear. We can show you, point you in the right direction to get an ice time. We can get you on a men's league team. Does not matter your skill level. You could never skated in your life before, and you will get taken care of by the community. And it's called Open Hockey Nashville. So just want to throw that out there and let the world know.
All right, good stuff. Thanks
hey, there's
for the call.
There's hope for me.
I think it was for everybody but you.
Yeah. Sorry, my life.
I would worry about you in a men's league. Like, really worry about you.
Yeah, I'd probably worry about me too.
Yeah. I think anybody involved should worry if that were the case.
Another text we have, because this is an interesting conversation. What surprises everybody is that it's a random person. Baseball doesn't pull somebody in from the stands if the catcher gets hurt or the backup catcher gets hurt. Why isn't it an offense or defensive player on the roster that becomes the goalie in emergency situation? Football doesn't have an emergency kicker or punter. If they get someone hurt on their game day roster, it would have to be the kicker.
Yeah. No, I know. That's
what's
unique
about it.
That's why I said I understand why people ask those questions. I do. I get it. Because there's no other reference point. There's no other example of how this makes any sense whatsoever, right? Because you don't see this in any sport. It's crazy. And that's a really good point. Like, why isn't someone who's inactive a healthy scratch that night. Why don't they, aren't they just forced to suit up and have to play goalie? I don't know how that would go. I'm assuming that would be a disaster, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very unique thing, but I would need to clarify this. It's different for the playoffs because obviously there's more on the
line
in the playoffs.
You would never see an emergency. There's got to be. There's no way I could see them using an e-bug in a playoff game, right?
Like, I wonder if in, like, the playoffs.
Well, when the rosters are expanded, maybe they force you to carry three goals.
Yeah, and then the Preds have – they don't force you, but the Preds have done that. Like, I think last year they had Grosnick was up for a little bit. So, I mean, they've done that before, once Milwaukee was eliminated. So I think that's probably what
they've
you
had
would
Mrazek.
Do.
They've had Mrazek. Yeah, no doubt. Kenny, you're up next. Welcome in.
I just wanted to tell you real quick. Saturday night it was Darren Dreger or Bob McKenzie or someone tweeted out, when an e-bug comes up, when he dresses up, he gets paid on a one-day contract. He'll get $500 plus he gets to keep the jersey.
$500. Okay, that's interesting because I heard a lot of people throwing out there that they don't even get paid. So you're saying $500 and a jersey, and the jersey.
Yeah, they sign a one-day professional tryout contract.
Okay.
And they get $500 and they get to keep the jersey, which is considered a game-worn jersey, even if they don't play.
Good to know. That's very good to know. I mean, I trust those guys' info. I mean, those guys are, well in tune with the hockey world, so that's good to know. Kenny, thanks for the phone call. I'm happy to hear that. That would be, to me, a little disappointing if they didn't get anything.
Yeah.
You know? A memory's great, but
I have the rule.
Gotta give them some compensation. What's the rule?
Okay. So each team shall have on its bench or a chair immediately beside the bench a substitute goaltender, as we know. Except when both goaltenders are incapacitated, no skater in the playing roster in that game shall be permitted to wear the equipment of the goalkeeper. In regular league and playoff games, if both listed goalkeepers are incapacitated, that team shall be entitled to dress and play any available goalkeeper who is eligible. This goalkeeper is eligible to sit on the player's bench in uniform in the event that the two regular goalkeepers are injured or incapacitated in quick succession. The third goalkeeper shall be provided with a reasonable amount of time to get dressed in addition to a two-minute warm-up, except when he enters the game to defend against a penalty shot. If, however, the third goalkeeper is dressed and on the bench when the second goalkeeper becomes incapacitated, the third goalkeeper shall enter the game immediately and no warm-up is permitted. So it's basically saying that, and I guess that's where the rule of e-bugs comes in, that, you know, as long as they're eligible, you can suit up anybody.
Mike Vrabel, when asked at the Combine in Indianapolis to describe his relationship with Tom Brady, he just used one word. Undefeated. We'll come back with Derek Mason, Vanderbilt's football coach, to kick off the third hour of Darren, Donnick, and Chase. That's next.